Joining us now is Sagar Njeti, White House reporter for the Daily Caller. Sagar, good morning and welcome back to Mornings on the Mall. So glad to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. The president has been tweeting quite vociferously, as we know, about this coming, I'm calling it an invasion on our southern border, something like 1,200, quote unquote, migrants marching to our border, and they plan on just walking across and pleading sanctuary, and we'll take them in. And the president is not happy about this, ruling out now DACA, saying no more DACA. Is there anything that the president can do to stop this? Is there anything we as a country can do to just stop a group of 1,200 people from just walking across?
Right. So, I mean, what the president, what I think is interesting is that this caravan has pretty much pushed the president over the edge in terms of his frustration that, you know, that he has not been able to get funding for his southern border wall. He has not been able to pass immigration reform, which would end some catch and release type programs. Because we have to remember, you know, this caravan includes a lot of children. And so if you arrive as a family unit at our southern border, then our ICE agents, our Border Patrol agents, have no choice but to release you into the interior of the country and just hope and pray that you show up before an immigration court, you know, sometime in the next 6 years. So if these people make it, they effectively are getting sanctuary in our country for probably, you know, 6 months to a year. And I think that the president has expressed his frustration to the point where it appears now he's no longer offering a DACA deal. But, you know, with Trump, you never know.
Right. So the question for everyone, and I know you won't have the answer on this, but see if you have some insight on it, which is what's next? Because, you know, thus far, the president said, hey, something's got to be done about DACA. There's got to be a deal with Hart. He's vacillated back and forth between all of this. During the campaign, he said DACA was a bad deal, that it needed to be ended immediately. But as president, he's wanted to use it as leverage to restrict legal immigration. And then he said, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to extend amnesty to 1.8 million people. I'm going to slowly draw down chain migration. And now he's saying there's no deal. So what are we going to expect out of the White House this week? Are they going to deport these kids or these adults,
so
rather?
I'm thinking that the White House is probably scrambling on this one. But, you know, the Secretary of Homeland Security was always very clear on this, which is that if DACA, the program, is ended, if those, you know, if those those protections are rescinded, that they are not going to be priorities for deportation. Obviously, they will still be eligible for deportation, but immigration enforcement in this country is almost entirely focused on just deporting people who are criminals, because there are frankly just so many people here illegally that it doesn't really make sense to target people who have not been committing crimes. But in terms of getting his, in terms of using this as some sort of congressional negotiation, the president really has it in his mind that he can use Department of Defense funding in order to fund his border wall. But part of the problem is that he will almost certainly need an act of Congress in order to reappropriate, you know, DOD funding to the wall. So he really is stuck without any of the things that he wants right now.
So here's the thing. President Trump just also went after Governor Jerry Brown on Saturday for pardoning five ex-convicts facing deportation. Can the president, I want to tie these two together, can the president take these 1,200 or however many arrive, round them up, and yeah, we'll release them, but release them into California?
You know, I'm not sure about that one.
Brilliant, right?
They can put them wherever they want,
yeah,
I guess.
But remember, President Obama was putting them in primarily Republican states, kind of as like a, you know, I'll show you. So can the president just put them in California? Because he's mad at the governor. He's mad at Jerry Brown. So I wonder if he could do that.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask Sarah Sanders that at the next press briefing.
I would like credit. I would like an asterisk after that.
I will
the great Mary Walters said, comma.
I'm good at revenge. I'm very good at being passive aggressive. So let's talk about this, though, what the governor did. The president tweeted out, Governor Jerry Moonbeam Brown pardoned five illegal criminal illegal aliens whose crimes include kidnapping, robbery, badly beating wife, dealing drugs. Is this really what the great people of California want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the president, it's something you see out of California pretty consistently, which is that they are using every public policy tool at their disposal, not only to protect people who are here in this country illegally who haven't committed crimes, but largely also to protect people who are in this country illegally and have committed crimes, in many cases, violent crimes. And this is, you know, based on an ethos that, you know, they don't believe in the federal government's, ability to deport people, and that they want to decide their own immigration laws. But they pretty much have adopted almost an open borders like policy whenever it comes to criminal illegal immigrants.
I want to move on to the issue of White House staff changes, or really cabinet level staff changes, because Scott Pruitt is the latest, the head of the EPA, the latest to be considered to maybe be on the way out. The White House is, at times, each time a cabinet official has attracted controversy of some kind based on their own behavior, it's often led to them being asked to leave. And in Scott Pruitt's case, there's no controversy over the fact that he was renting a room on a daily basis from an energy lobbyist in Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill, and the White House seems to be reportedly uncomfortable with this scandal. What do you know about Scott Pruitt and whether or not he actually has a target on his back inside the Trump administration?
Yeah, I know that the White House is not happy with him. They are sick of these headlines, and the chief in particular hates seeing any sort of insinuation.
You mean John Kelly? When you say chief, you mean
the chief of staff. Yeah, John Kelly is pretty upset that any insinuation that, you know, the government is full of graft and all of that. And, you know, this is not the first time Pruitt has been in trouble. He spent, you know, thousands of dollars on, I think it was private flights and on first class tickets, because he didn't like dealing with economy class passengers who would get in his face. And so, you know, this really, I mean, you saw Governor Christie, who was on this ABC this Sunday.
Yes.
And he said this is really, you know, last straw. And that, you know, Mr. Pruitt was not properly vetted, and that this is the product of a bad transition team.
But Sagar, it seems like on Scott Pruitt's part that he has been rather effectively enforcing the president's agenda within the EPA, which is to scale back all of these energy regulations, these Obama-era climate regulations, and recently this big one of requiring that all of the science they use have public data instead of the secret data that they were relying on before. All things that I would think that the Trump administration would be happy with.
Right. That's what's so different between Pruitt and Shulkin, where Shulkin really became a bit of an adversarial relationship with the White House, and he was floundering out there for a while. Pruitt does seem to be a true believer, you know, in the Trump energy agenda. And so as to whether the president is actually going to fire him, it's unknown, but he's certainly getting pressure from his advisors that, you know, this is intolerable. And we just don't know how many more stories there are out there about, you know, Pruitt. You had this story about how his private security detail had to break down his door in the middle of the night and go get him, and how his daughter was apparently also living with him rent-free. So, you know, these are all things that could skirt, you know, federal law in terms of gifting law, and it just looks bad for the White House.
Yeah. Well, Sagar, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your insight. Hope to talk to you again.
Yeah. And we look forward to the name Mary Walter being introduced to the press briefing today.
That's right. I think it's brilliant. I think you should go for it. It's 8:15.